Hello everyone, just wanted to remind you to stay safe on WhatsApp. Unfortunately, there are people who might try to deceive you into sharing sensitive information. Remember, no one from StreamGlobe will ever ask you for codes or numbers for any reason. If someone does, they're impersonators trying to scam you. Please report such numbers to WhatsApp and your group admins immediately. Also, if you get any unsolicited messages from someone in your StreamGlobe WhatsApp group, don't worry. Just report the person to WhatsApp using the report option. They won't be able to contact you again, and WhatsApp will take action to prevent this from happening to others. Let's stay safe on WhatsApp and remember to share StreamGlobe devotionals with your contacts.
Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled, Pray Lest You Enter Into Temptation. Today's meditation was written by Dr. Emmanuel James. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10. It says, If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I have just read from the King James Version. Fred was told that reading was the key to passing his exams. So he read diligently, but still failed. Being a child, he turned to his mother, exclaiming, You lied, Mom. You said I would pass if I read my books. I read them all, but I failed. His mother, with a gentle smile, asked him how he read. Fred admitted that he didn't understand much of it. Many Christians have heard the Lord Jesus' words, Pray lest you enter into temptation. And they prayed, but when faced with temptation, they fell. Like Fred, they wonder why. Now here's the thing. You shouldn't stop praying until you get an answer from God, just like Fred shouldn't have stopped reading until he understood his books. But many Christians pray haphazardly. They pray until they feel like stopping, instead of letting answers guide their prayer time. God says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So decide today never to stop praying until you are stronger than your adversaries and empowered to resist temptation. Our yearly Bible reading plan for today shall be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to chapter 12. Now, this Bible reading plan is continuous. So, if you begin with us today, for example, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The audio comes up next. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to chapter 12.
Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything, and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Those who are hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say,
"Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,"
it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say,
"Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,"
it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand,
"I don't need you."
And the head cannot say to the feet,
"I don't need you."
On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.